The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back, 12s, to the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon Schultz and Adam Emmert here. Back in August of 2013, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we interviewed Bruce Bright, former Seahawkers Central Council president. We've had 27 straight episodes without a Central Council president on our show. It's been too long. Clearly time to go back. And so we welcome current Seahawkers Central Council president, Gene Hushak, to the show. Welcome, Gene.
Well, thank you, Brandon. Thank you. 27 episodes. Come on.
Well, this is episode 29. So, you know, you have episode number one, which we had Bruce, and now we're on episode 29, you know, the Earl Thomas episode. And now you're here. So we waited far too long.
Okay. Well, if you're going to call it the Earl Thomas episode, you redeemed yourself a little bit. I'll take that.
All right. So speaking of numbers, I've seen pictures of you wearing the number 38, and, you know, I'm not usually that into guys who play on the practice squad. So why are you such a big Chandler Fenner fan exactly?
Okay, it goes way back to 1994 when I was living in Connecticut, came out to Seattle to see my first home game, and I picked the number 38 kind of on a whim. There's a little story behind it, but I won't chew up too much of your time. Okay, all right. Originally, when I... back in 94, I was going through a separation divorce. Money was tight, and I will only buy field jerseys. Mm-hmm. So I felt that I never put a name on the back because players leave, and I'm not going to put my name on because I don't play for the team. So originally, I ordered a number 88 because in my mind, back then, a field jersey cost about $130. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the most jersey for my money. So I figured, what numbers had the most amount of material in them? So I came up with the number 88. Well, when they sent me the 88, and back in 94, there wasn't much of an internet. You had to do this by catalog and call in.
Right.
They didn't send it with sewn-on numbers. They actually sent it with iron-on numbers. It was a field jersey, but iron-on numbers.
Wow.
So I ordered a second one. That was also the year they had the number 75 on the jerseys for the 75th year of the NFL.
Okay.
So anyway, I decided I was going to order a second one. And I thought, well, I already ordered 88. Let's not go with that. What would be the next number that would get me the most amount of material? So when I looked at the 88, I went, well, a 38 is an 88 with just a little piece taken out of the 8. So I went with 38.
Gene, you're a man after my own heart here. I love your shopping decisions. This is fantastic.
So I come out to Seattle, and in 94, and I come out to see the Buccaneers game, the Seahawks-Buccaneers game. And I think I had found out through some way, that number 38 was this rookie named Strong. The guy that I sat next to in the stadium says, "Hey, who's number 38? Or I don't know, some guy named Max Strong. wouldn't you know he scored the winning touchdown for that game?
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So I've worn number 38 ever since. I've run into him a couple of times. Since then, he signed that original jersey that I wore. I was wearing a 38 when he signed that older style. He spun me around and signed the 38 on my back. So I've got two number 38 jerseys, and of course, when the Nike ones came out, I'm not a huge fan of them, but I've kept the number. So technically, right now, I'm the only one that's got a Nike 38 jersey.
Yeah, that's like Chandler Fenner.
I wouldn't have even known who he was, Chandler Fenner. I was at the celebration. I have season tickets, so I was in the stadium, and as they're announcing people coming in, I see this guy walk in with a 38, and I was like, wow, there's a 38 on the team?
Right.
So I should bite my tongue, because this guy will end up being famous. Watch.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you know what? You know what's awesome about the number 38? That's how many years it took for the Seahawks to win a Super Bowl.
I noticed that. I did know that. That was, it's kind of my number. It's just been my number for a long time, just jersey-wise or otherwise, and I happened to key in on that when I moved to Washington a couple of years ago. Believe it or not, the license, the driver's license they issued to me, the Washington State license, has the number 38 in it. It's just really weird how it's kind of followed me after that. After that silly decision of, well, gee, if I take a little material out of the Nate, it's a 38.
So I'd like to ask this of a lot of our guests that come on the show. How did you become a Seahawks fan?
Okay, well, growing up on the East Coast, my parents separated and divorced as a little kid. I never really had that father figure to watch sports with. So there's never been a family tie-in to any team. But again, being on the East Coast, you've got the Giants, you've got the Jets, you've got the Patriots. Was never a huge fan of them, but I happened to see a Rams game as a little kid, and I thought they had a cool helmet. I mean, you just opened the door. You really should have thought this question out after asking me about the 38. Now you're asking. You be careful what you ask for when you're talking to me. Anyway, I thought they had a cool helmet. They had a cool little swoosh. And some stupid trivia, whether you know or not, the Rams are the first team to ever have a thing on their helmet, a little symbol on their helmet.
Okay.
That was done by their equipment guy. He to fire the team up one day. He came in real early in the morning and painted that little white Rams horn on their helmets. That's how the NFL started with things on the helmets. Anyway, I followed the Rams for many years. When I got to my late teens, early 20s, the majority of my friends had a secondary favorite team, but in the opposing conference, so it really wasn't a big conflict. And I happened to be watching a Jets game on the East Coast, and they were playing the Seahawks. And they zoomed in on the Seahawks bench, and there was the old silver helmet with that Northwestern tribal bird on it. And I went, you know what, that's not a falcon, it's not an eagle, that's really different. I like that. So I kind of adopted them as my secondary favorite team until my first trip out in the 90s. And then I really started following them. I mean, the experience I had coming out to the Pacific Northwest, it's when I decided that I would eventually move. I just absolutely fell in love with the area. The experience that I had, the people that I met right off the bat. My second day here, I got an opportunity to be on the field in the Kingdom. They were filming a movie. They were filming a movie there with Gregory Hines and Vincent D'Onofrio. And through a Seahawks newsletter that I used to get, I found out about it. They said, you're welcome to come. You know, we're looking for a few people to be in the background.
Very cool.
So that's how the whole thing started. It was a very surreal experience. I mean, I just wanted to see a Seahawks, in my eyes, an away game, but a home game, actually. And I fell in love with the area and knew that at some point I would move. And 18 years later, I finally, the dream came true. So
one of the things that we've been talking about today, Gene, of course, the 2014 schedule came out. And a lot of interesting games on the schedule. Are there any that have really piqued your interest?
Believe it or not, the preseason Bears game.
Yeah.
My girlfriend currently lives in California, and luckily she's not a fan of any of those teams, but she is a Bears fan. So
yeah, because you'd have to dump her immediately,
right?
If that were the case.
Yeah. I told her that, but I could understand her. You know, she grew up in California, but likes a Midwest team. And my first thought was almost to ask her why, and then I thought about it.
Because she liked the
helmets. Connecticut. I said Connecticut, exactly. Connecticut Seahawks. Forget it. I completely understand. So over the last year, we've had that running little war of, you know, who's got the better team. So we finally get our matchup. But, you know, taking a look at it, possibly it could be the Giants. The Giants are usually a fairly good opponent, but they run hot and cold. So that could be a decent game.
Year,
honestly, taking a look at the schedule, I think the hardest part of our schedule is the fact that we've got a bye week in the fourth week. I really think having it that soon in the season, you know, doesn't give you much for resting. You know, you really want to finish the season strong. Not that we can't do it, not that we haven't done it before, but you know, you'd like to see it a little farther down than it is now.
So, tell us a little bit about the Seahawkers Club, Gene. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the off season. You know, you as part of the club, you kind of helped lead the effort to raise some money for the community of Oso here recently. I'd like to ask you about that. But for people who don't know about the Seahawkers and the club, you know, kind of make the pitch to them. Why would somebody want to be a part of this, other than the fact that, you know,
that we have great helmets.
You know, just a great fan base.
Yeah, we all get together and we put on these really cool helmets.
Right.
Yeah.
But why? What would motivate people to be a part of the club, of the, to be with the Seahawkers Club?
Well, we get a couple. I mean, anybody could be a Seahawks fan. Obviously, here in the Pacific Northwest, especially in the last couple of seasons, the team's done phenomenally well. So you do get the people that weren't just the diehard year after year fan, everybody jumping on. And, of course, everybody could be a fan. But the Seahawkers really set themselves apart by not only being fans, but also helping to work with the Seahawks organization when they do some of their community outreach efforts. The Seahawks, we're the only fan club or booster club that the Seahawks recognize. So when they do have the need, they will reach out to us, so we get that little bit of a perk to actually help the team with their community outreach. We do a banquet every year, which is coming up on May 24th.
Memorial
at the
Day
Bellevue
weekend.
Hilton.
Yep,
it is that Saturday beforehand. So a little extra fun in your weekend if you're around. More than welcome to come on down. If you have any questions, give me a call or reach out. But we do get some other cool opportunities. I mean, the Seahawks see us as the upper level of fans. We do a barbecue every year that for the past few years has been held at the VMAC on the property. This year they're exploring a different twist to it that could be very unique. And I can only tell you that much because it's still in the works, and
intriguing.
I don't want to I don't want to say something that may not come to fruition.
Do you have a date picked out for that yet?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But I'll say it could happen during training camp.
Okay.
Around the training camp time frame, I'll allude to that and just let it go from there.
Okay. All right.
But we try to do all kinds of different events. All the chapters have their own events. I really would like to see the organization become more involved in community service again on their own. So there's that part of it, the camaraderie of helping out the community and doing something good, just for the sake of doing something good. I think the world could use a little bit more of that.
So talk a little bit about, you know, speaking of some of the good things, you know, raising money for the community of Oso. You know, they were affected by that tragic landslide. And one of the things that really impressed me was, you know, how you put the email out to a lot of the clubs that were raising money. You know, the Seahawkers Club is going to raise money for the community. And really, what you saw was a lot of fans really rallying around, you know, within the club, rallying around this idea. And how, talk a little bit about that and just how much money the club raised for the Oso community.
Sure. I had seen, I mean, you couldn't help but turn on the news from Saturday until the first 3 days of within that happening. That's all you saw. Anything, the whole news was dedicated to it. And it just, every time you saw it, it just got worse. And, you know, they were putting out the call for donations and all kinds of things like that. And, you know, I started to think about it. And when I became president and told some of my other friends that aren't so much Seahawks related here in the area, if you can find a few, a lot of the people that belong to the Harley group that I belong to, they didn't even know that the Seahawkers existed, and that blew me away. I mean, for a fan club that had been in existence for 38 years, the people from this area weren't aware of them. I thought, well, maybe we can do something about that. Let's put together just send out an email to the different chapter presidents to say, hey, why don't we make donations on our own? Let's do a group donation amongst ourselves and make a lump sum donation on behalf of the Seahawkers to the OSO community. You know, with the hopes that maybe we would get a little notice that, hey, there's this group that just donated a lump sum of money. And through being a little bit scorned through one of the local television stations where I thought I was going to get help, I decided to take it a little bit farther than that, and I turned it into a social media event. I really just created the event on Facebook and just asked that if people couldn't donate, that was fine. Just I made it an open event and asked people to just invite their friends as well. And if somebody wanted to donate, great. Just invite, share, promote, whatever you could do, just mention it. Because, hey, if somebody told 10 people, and of those 10 people, 2 donated, that's at least 2 more that we got than wouldn't if somebody didn't share it.
Right, right. And so what was the final total there?
Within a 2.5-week period, we were shooting for $12,000, but we were able to hit $9,400 to donate.
Amazing. That is amazing.
To the North County's Relief Fund.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I just a big shout-out to the 12th man, the Seahawks fans, and the Seahawkers for pulling together to show the community what the 12th man is capable of doing off the field the other 8.5 months of the year.
Well, you know, you noticed, I wanted to go back, too, because you mentioned our all-club banquet coming up on May 24th at the Bellevue Hilton. You know, I heard that we were going to have a certain special guest at that event, a trophy of Lombardi proportions, perhaps, that will be there. Is that something you can confirm?
Yes, I can confirm that. The Lombardi trophy will be there, albeit it will be under a glass case because, you know, they just want to try to protect it a little bit. But it will be there, available for... I'm gonna put a helmet on it. actually, they'll have it there available for people to stand around to have your picture taken with it. I know in years past, I went to my first banquet last year. They give us a backdrop, so you know, for the people coming in, they can take a picture within their group or Blitz happens to be there. I'm pretty certain they will set up the table, put the trophy on it, with the backdrop in the back, and if you want to gather around with the group you're with your chapter, with however you want to have the picture taken, but it will be there. Yes, it will.
And for members who want to be a part of that, is there a way to sign up?
Yes, you can go right to www.seahawkers.org, which is obviously our website, and there is a PayPal button on there to pay. It's $40 to get into the banquet. However, PayPal does charge us a little bit, so it's $41. Okay. If you go through the PayPal button, $20 for kids. It is open to kids. If there are people that are skittish about using electronic type of payment devices, when you get to, well, just reach out to me at president@seahawkers.org, and I can forward you the flyer that was sent out to the majority of chapter presidents who should have sent it out to the membership. But if they didn't, I can send you the flyer, and the bottom of the flyer you can print out and fill it in and mail it to the treasurer if you'd like to just do it that way. It'll save yourself a dollar. Actually, it'll save yourself 60 cents because you got to put a stamp on it.
There you go.
A frugal guy like yourself, you can appreciate that.
That's right.
The guy that gets
exactly.
The most number on a jersey possible.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Gene, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Like I said, it's been too long since we had a Central Council president on, and so hopefully, you know, we can get you on even coming up before the season, maybe around the time where we have our barbecue at sometime this summer. So.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. And, you know, I just wanted to say that whoever listens to this, whether it's military, whether it's any other Seahawkers, I am accessible. You know, reach out to me at president@seahawkers.org. I really want to take this, my career background has been in customer service and training and things like that, and just being accessible to people. So, you know, this club and this organization is yours. You know, it's there to make it what you want, and I'm just a person to try to help steer it. So if you've got any ideas, you know, you're only as good as the people around you, and you never know where that next good idea is going to come from. So if I can help anybody out, if they've got questions, if you've got a community project that you think the Seahawkers can be involved with, reach out to me. You know, let me know. More often than not, I'll pick up the phone and call you if you give me a number, which to date has really blown people away when I pick up the phone and call them and they go, wow, you really called me? I mean, you know, I'm just a guy, you know, that is just trying to make it good for everybody and get us known and do some good things for the community.
Well, we definitely appreciate having you do that, and you know, getting the Seahawkers name out there, and you know, that's one of the things we're all about here. And folks, if you want to reach out to Gene, president@seahawkers.org.
And thanks to all of you for the service that you've provided for us, so that we could do what we do.
Hey, we're just a couple of guys that like to get together and talk Seahawks football,
exactly.
You know, every once in a while.
Yeah, it was just an excuse to do that, and we just threw a microphone in front of each of our faces and called it good.
Yep. So. Exactly. So, and like we've mentioned in the past, you know, go to Seahawkers.org. There's plenty of chapters. You know, we got folks that listen all over the United States. Chances are good, that you'll have a Seahawkers chapter near you.
In the time that I've become president, we voted in December when I was voted in as president. Mm-hmm. We added two chapters then. Since that December meeting, we've added another 11 chapters.
Holy smokes.
We've got
really
two more. We've got two more slated for voting on the beginning of May. One of them is in Mexico. We have a UK chapter. We've got Denmark showing some interest in starting a chapter. The Midwest, I mean, we're worldwide, and we ended the year with close to 6,000 members. Now with these 11 chapters adding in, and as they slowly grow, we're easily going to be 6,000 members. We're shooting for 20,000 by the end of this year. We'll see if we can hit it, but if not, we're definitely growing. 39 chapters worldwide.
So there you have it, folks. If you can't find a Seahawks chapter near you, you're just not trying.
you better start one.
Yeah, get after it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't find one, start one.
Exactly. All right, Gene. Well, thanks again for coming on. And like I said, we'd love to have you back on some other time.
I'd love it, too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Take a ride on the 12 train, tie it to the tracks, and make you feel the pain.